This is Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. This is a half-hour program featuring commentaries and interviews with wildlife and wilderness advocates relating to the unique natural environment that we enjoy in the wildlands of the West and across America. I'm your host, Ben Churchwell. We have two guests this week. The first is Morgan Jacobson, the Information and Education Program Manager for Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks in Bozeman. Morgan will be providing additional insight on the grizzly bear that was captured by a trail cam in the Bangtail Mountains late this December. This marks the first time a grizzly bear has been formally documented in the area since recovery efforts began. Our second interviewee is Ann Reddy, the founder and chair of Gallatin Valley Earth Day. Gallatin Valley Earth Day is a grassroots organization working out of Bozeman promoting sustainability and environmental advocacy. Ann will be providing information on an event the organization is hosting next Wednesday, January 14th, titled Ted Turner and Friends, Stories from the Wild Edge of Coexistence. First, here's Morgan Jacobson with more information on that bear sighting. Morgan, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Ben.
So there was a grizzly sighting recently confirmed in the Bangtail region. Could you tell me a little bit more about where exactly and how this sighting took place?
Yeah, so Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks staff recently confirmed a grizzly bear sighting in the Bangtail Range. If you're not familiar with where the Bangtails are, this is the mountain range directly east of the Bridgers. So as you're driving through Bozeman Canyon toward Livingston, these will be off to the north on the left-hand side as you're making your way through there. So what occurred was we got some trail camera images from someone who had a trail camera set up in an area on the National Forest there in the Bangtails. They captured multiple images of a sub-adult grizzly bear. And so because of those images, that's how we were able to sort of independently verify and document that it was indeed a grizzly bear. And that's really the first time that such documentation has occurred formally for grizzly bears in the Bangtail Range since recovery began. That's not to say that grizzly bears haven't been there before or that people haven't seen them, but this is just the first time that there's been documentation of it and photographic evidence. So there's a number of ways we can confirm grizzly bear presence. Photos is one of them and probably the best method, but we can also look at tracks. We can look at hair samples if we can gather them. But in this case, it was trail camera photos that were sent to us.
Perfect. I'm not sure if this is something that you'd be able to, I don't know how much information you're able to get from these photos, but is this suspected to be that the grizzly bear is living and habitating in this area actively, or is it just passing through?
That's a good question. The answer is we don't know. This is confirmation that this bear will permanently occupy this area. It could be passing through, and it was a subadult grizzly, and so subadults do tend to wander a bit as they establish their home range. We're also aware of a grizzly bear that was seen traveling up the Yellowstone River corridor through Livingston earlier. Just in the months prior to this sighting of the Bangtails, and may have been the same bear, maybe a different bear, but I think the take-home message here is that we're continuing to see grizzly bears expanding into places where they haven't been for a long time as their numbers and distribution increases over time. And it's a good reminder that Montana is bear country. And anywhere in the western two-thirds of Montana, you should be prepared, at least, to encounter grizzly bears and take that into account as you plan for your outings in the woods, as well as, where you live in bear country.
Sure.
A lot of Montanans are probably familiar with how to live and recreate in bear country, but just as always, it's good to have a healthy reminder. What are some habits that people should adopt?
Yeah, well, the first one is that awareness piece, right? Whether you live in downtown Bozeman or if you live, in the outskirts of Whitehall or any other place in this part of the state, it's bear country. And that does play into to how we live and how we recreate. Another important reminder is that avoiding conflicts with bears in the first place is far better than dealing with conflicts once they come up. And many conflicts are avoidable. And so things people can do, for recreationists specifically, carry and know how to use bear spray and have it ready for use immediately. Traveling in groups whenever possible and make noise to alert bears and other wildlife to your presence. That can help in avoiding surprise close encounters where most human injuries take place when it comes to bears. Stay away from animal carcasses. These are can be attractants for bears. And following food storage orders that are in effect for most of the year. Really, attractants is one of the top issues when it comes to conflicts with bears. And so things like garbage, bird feeders, unsecured food, really anything that could bring in a bear that it would see as a potential food source, those are things that we need to keep secure, whether we're recreating or just where we live. And so, that means, if you live in bear country, which we do, that means keeping garbage cans secured in a building or in a certified bear resistant container, and really just being conscious of keeping those attractants in a place where bears can't get to them.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for that. If confirmed grizzly sightings become more regular within this region, will that have any implications for the management of the area?
So grizzly bears currently are still listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act, even though their numbers have met recovery thresholds in Montana and in other places. So the management authority for grizzly bears rests with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, but the on-the-ground and day-to-day management really happens at the state level. With grizzly bear specialists with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. They work very closely with their communities to provide education and conflict prevention. And something that we're really focusing on is increasing our education and outreach efforts in places where grizzly bears are expanding into. A place like Gardner, Montana, or West Yellowstone have had grizzly bears there for a very long time, and that's sort of a message that they're used to, and we're continuing to work with them. But other places, sort of this some of these areas between the Greater Yellowstone ecosystem and the Northern Continental Divide, where grizzly bears are expanding into, or we're starting to see potential travel corridors between the two ecosystems. Those are areas we really want to focus on more in helping people prepare for increasing grizzly bear numbers and starting to see them in places where we're not used to seeing them. And so this area in the Bangtails is an example of that. Places like Butte, Whitehall, Helena, these are places that are kind of have been in between places, and we're working to continue to provide resources and education for people in all these places as they continue to live and recreate in bear country with an increasing number of bears and humans on the landscape.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's about all the questions I have about the sighting. Is there any additional information you'd like to highlight regarding it?
No, we just encourage people to Be safe. Remember that, again, a lot of the conflicts with bears and grizzly bears especially can be avoided. Remember to carry bear spray, travel in groups and make noise, keep attractants secured. Those three things right there are the key to preventing most types of conflicts with bears. And we want to be a resource and be helpful to folks if they have questions or concerns or anything like that. We do put on events and tabling events and clinics and trainings throughout the year for people as they deal with bears in different ways, whether that's through agriculture and producers or recreationists or homeowners. There's really a lot of resources available for people. And you can also look at our website, fwp.mt.gov, and a lot of that is listed there too.
Perfect. And actually, that probably that's a, leads me to another question. And this is probably something that is available on the website. But if other folks are recreating either in or in the Bangtail area or in similar areas, and they happen to have an encounter with a grizzly bear, what's the protocol that they should go through to report that?
Yeah, if people have if they do have an encounter, or I guess there's different types of encounters, right? So one is like a trail camera, which is what we had this in this case. We always are appreciative of folks who are willing to share photos with us, and that gives us an idea of what's on the landscape and another data point. If people have other documentation that they come up with, either photos or video, or just want to tell us about an encounter that they had, we're always happy for that information. And so, location is important. Bear behavior is important. Like I said, the best type of information are photos most of the time. So, we're always looking for that data that people are willing to share.
Perfect. Well, thank you again for joining me today and for sharing your insight. It's been very helpful.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Next Wednesday, January 14th, Gallatin Valley Earth Day will be hosting an event titled Ted Turner and Friends: Stories from the Wild Edge of Coexistence. The event is free. There will be a 6 p.m. reception, and the program will start at 7 p.m. It'll be at the Emerson Center for the Arts and Culture, but folks can also attend via live stream or sign up to receive a recording of the presentations. Anne Reddy, the founder and chair of Gallatin Valley Earth Day, will be providing more information on this event now.
And thank you so much for joining me today.
You're very welcome, Ben.
So, would you mind just to start us off telling us a little bit about Gallatin Valley Earth Day and what role you play with the organization?
Yes, Gallatin Valley Earth Day was founded in 2019 because there were a number of community members thought it would be important to have an Earth Day festival, since Bozeman would seems to be a perfect place for an Earth Day festival with all the nonprofits and organizations that are concerned with subjects that relate to the Earth. And so it just has grown bigger and bigger every year. We outgrew the library space, so then we moved to the Emerson, but then we outgrew that. So now we're at the fairgrounds every April with a huge Earth Day festival that attracts thousands.
Nice. Perfect. What kind of events or what kind of activities can people expect to see at those festivals?
Yeah, the festival has something for everyone. We have 50 exhibitors. Nonprofits and businesses, and even school groups that are exhibiting, and they have a variety of subjects from composting to wildlife to selling earth-friendly products to clean your home. It's a wide variety. We also have live music. We always partner lately with the the Bozeman Winter Farmers Market, so people have an opportunity there to get local food and celebrate that part of the earth. We always have now food, and it's very exciting. We're getting a food court that we have out with some various offerings for people that is local food. It's a food court with local food, and then we have live music, and then we have a bunch of programs going on every hour in one of the buildings. We always start out with a children's show. Once again, we're going to bring back the magician to have an Earth Day magic show, which is very popular. And then we have a couple talks. This year, there's one about composting, and then the city has another talk about water-wise landscaping. And then we end the talks with a live rapture presentation, which is always very popular. But we aim the festival a lot at ki young kids. And so we have this whole Earth Day passport system where the kids can go around, they pick up their passport, and they go around to at least seven different stands and learn something. They get their passport stamped, and then they can come back and get a little prize. And then we usually have a really big, beautiful stuffed animal donated by the local toy store, and they can put in to win. It's very exciting, a big stuffed wolf or a big stuffed bison. So it's very exciting for them. And so it's just a very fun time, and people are very excited.
Sounds like it. Yeah, I'm excited to attend this year. So you also host events throughout the year as well, and I understand that you have one coming up this next Wednesday, January 14th, called Ted Turner and Friends: Stories from the Wild Edge of Coexistence. Could you tell us a little bit about this event and what kind of the vision is for it?
Yes. This whole event started by from the book Last Stand. It's written by local famous journalist Tom Wilkinson. It's actually called Last Stand, Ted Turner's Quest to Save a Troubled Planet. And if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It's just an amazing book, and it will blow your mind about all the wonderful things Ted Turner has done for this world and for the environment. I deeply appreciated him after I read that book. So we want to do a tribute to Ted Turner, and then it sort of expanded in. We decided to feature three ranches from Montana, who are all, one is the Flying D, which is Ted Turner, but we also included the Odell Creek Wetlands, which is on the Granger Ranch in Ennis, Montana. They have spent decades restoring a gigantic wetlands area that had been tiled and drained a long time ago, and it now supports amazing wildlife. And it's still a working cattle ranch, but they still support amazing wildlife. And then our third ranch we're featuring is North Bridger Bison, because they are a working bison ranch, but they also are very conscious of supporting the wildlife all the way from they've been involved with programs to study native bees to supporting birds, and they have ferrets and ungulates, and they're very predator friendly. They have all sorts of predators, grizzly bears and black bears and mountain lions and et cetera, and wolves on their land. we are Ted Turner can't be there in person because he's unfortunately not able to be there because of his health. But we will have Mike Phillips there talking about Ted Turner and the Flying D Ranch, and especially concentrating on the wolves that are in Ted Turner's ranch, which I think people will find very interesting. Jeff Laszlo, it's just amazing. The more you find out about this wetlands, which is actually the biggest wild wetlands restoration in the state of Montana, they have been involved with Sacagawea Ottoman and other organizations to reintroduce swans on the land. It's a fantastic place for migrating birds and songbirds, and it's a great trout habitat. And speaking of trout habitat, the Flying D Ranch is just an amazing place. They've done so much for restoration for trout habitat. I don't quote me, I know it's at least 20, if not 60 miles of streams. They've worked with Trout Unlimited, and now it's just an amazing place for trout to breed and to prosper. And then, of course, North Bridger Bison Ranch has a wide variety of wildlife throughout, and we just want to highlight that. All three of the ranches are protected for forever, we hope, because they all have a conservation easement on them. So that's very important to know that this will continue beyond what it is today, so that's very reassuring. And therefore, Gallatin Valley Land Trust will be there at the reception. We're going to have a reception at 6 p.m., an hour before the program, which starts at 7 p.m., to showcase a lot of the different aspects of the ranches that we can't cover in the hour and a half during the program. So Trout Unlimited will be there with a really interesting slideshow showing all the different trout projects that have been done on the Flying D Ranch and at the Granger Ranch. And as one example, Sacagawea Audubon will be there talking about reintroduction of the swans and really interesting story too about banding a kestrel there, which they later trapped in Mexico. So they have all sorts of interesting stories, all these different groups that will be there. So I really encourage people to come at 6 p.m. and visit all these different exhibits and learn about all the wonderful things that these three ranches have provided for wildlife and all the different organizations that they've been involved with in our community. It's quite amazing. And then at the reception, also, we are going to have bison chili supplied by Ted's Montana Grill. So, and the food is free, the drinks are free. So I encourage you to come out and get some of this amazing bison chili. Also, we'll have hors d'oeuvres and food from Fork and Spoon and then some additional food. So, and then also at the 6 p.m. reception, you get a chance to buy the book Last Stand, and Todd Wilkinson will be there to sign it for you. So if you haven't read it, or if you want your own copy with Todd's signature, then come prepared because Elk River Books will be selling his books. And as I said, Todd will be signing them. So lots to do at the reception, and then you can enjoy the program also. And I just want to point out that this program will be live streamed also. So if you're too far away and can't make it to Bozeman next Wednesday, you can go on Gallatin Valley Earth Day and scroll down, and you can click on the link so that you can sign up for the live stream. We'll send you a link for the live stream of it. And if you don't have time to watch it live, we will be recording it. So if you sign up for the live stream but can't watch it, we will send you a link to the recording afterwards so you can watch it when you have time to actually, enjoy the event. So.
Absolutely. Sounds like there's a lot of good reasons to attend. I don't think we fully caught it earlier, but could you tell me just a little bit more about in the background, what role you play with the Gallatin Valley Earth Day organization?
I'm the founder of it. And so now my official title is chair of a committee. We have a committee of a dozen people who we work like 5, 6 months a year to plan out the events and the festival. And it started with like five of us in 2019, and now we've grown to about a dozen of us. So I head it up, but we have a whole committee of local community members from various nonprofits that help us out. And I just want to say that this is a totally grassroots organization. Everyone is volunteer, no one is paid, and all our money to support the events comes from local businesses and nonprofits. So it's very grassroots, and we like it that way. So, and therefore,
Yeah,
all of our
awesome.
events are free. So we make sure we don't charge for any of our events, unless in the past we have had a special workshop where you pay a fee to the person because it's a workshop and you're learning something. But other than that, it's free. So.
That's incredible. Where can our listeners find out more about Gallatin Valley Earth Day and any other events that you have coming up?
Yes, if you go to our website at www.gallatinvalleyearthday.org, you can go there and scroll up, and there'll be a listing of all the events we have planned for the whole season in 2026. And we'll also have more detail about the upcoming event next Wednesday.
Perfect. Fantastic. Well, thank you again for joining me today. I hope some of our listeners will get to attend the event and some future events you guys host in the future.
Thank you, Ben. It's been a real pleasure talking with you today.
Perfect. Yeah.
This has been Wilderness and Wildlife, a presentation of the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. More information about the association and its activities can be found on its website, www.gallatinwildlife.org. To hear more of these half-hour interviews, go online to kgvm.org or to buzzsprout.com and scroll down to Wilderness and Wildlife. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Ben Churchwell.